Welcome to the Mercia Wellbeing Podcast with me, Michael Civita. This series gives us all an opportunity to sit back, reflect, and consider how we and the people around us, both in and outside of work, are really doing. I will be joined by a guest speaker each episode, and together we will share tips and techniques to help us take better care of ourselves. Hi everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Mercia Wellbeing Podcast. And we're going to be looking at goal setting and the importance of setting goals and having a think about some of the barriers that can exist, which can prevent us sometimes temporarily from achieving the goals that we've set for ourselves, both in our personal lives, but also within our careers and within our businesses. I'm very excited to welcome Helen Spencer along today for this episode to share some insights with us as well. Helen, can you just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Of course. No, hello. I'm Helen Spencer, as you say. I'm the managing partner of WR Partners. So we are an accountancy and business practice, but business advisory practice across Shropshire, Wales and Cheshire.
Wonderful. Thank you, Helen. And Helen, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about goals today. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're going to be sharing some of your thoughts. Before we start going into, you know, the different types of goals, how important do you think it is that we have goals for ourselves?
I think hugely. I think for two reasons. I think one is goals to drive momentum. So I think if we are really clear what we're trying to achieve, I think we stand more of a chance of achieving it. So I think there's an element of commitment in just the process of actually developing goals in the first place. I think for the second reason, I think we are often so busy doing stuff and doing things that actually what I think what goals do, and I think certainly when you get to reflecting on goals and what you have and haven't achieved, I think it's an important part of that recognition process that says, no, I have, and not only have I been busy, you know, but I have made progress either towards achieving the goal in its entirety or, you know, certainly making progress towards the achievement of that goal.
Yeah. So by having a bit of a plan, a bit of a, you know, a goal in place, it gives us something to compare our actual results or, you know, what has happened in our personal lives against, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Brilliant. Now, I'm not somebody, especially in from a personal perspective, I'm not somebody that's ever really set myself that many personal goals. And I guess subconsciously I have, and I've thought about, you know, what do I want to be doing with my life and where do I want to be living and in terms of family life. But things, I would say, just seem to happen a lot of the time, and yeah, I wonder for you, thinking about sort of your earliest goals, and you know, when you were sort of sitting down at some point and thinking about, you know, what it is that you wanted to achieve in your life, what did that look like for you?
I'm not sure. I think in the early days, I had specific goals around career and the like. I think I had a driver of goal, which was, I think, about financial independence. So I think for me personally, a lot of what I've achieved has been driven by an underlying personal goal, which is partly driven, I think, by some events in my childhood that meant I wanted to ensure I was financially independent. And I could therefore provide, you know, for those that were close to me. So I think there's lots of, I think goals, particularly, I think probably around career, that I have had, but it's all been linked back, I think, to that goal, which interestingly is still a goal now that I have.
Okay. So, that financial independence, was important to you and actually hasn't gone away. It's been something that you've continued to strive for throughout your life?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Yes. And I guess I've now reached the stage where I probably have achieved that goal. But it still remains, I think, as I said, a goal today.
When we're looking at our personal goals and, you know, objectives, you know, in terms of what do we want to achieve, I guess they can be sort of scattered around a few different areas. We can have goals for personal relationships, can't we? And family life, you know, having children, for example, that could be part of some people's life plans, and that can work out and that can happen. And for other people, it doesn't happen. For other people, it takes longer than what they want it to happen. People have goals in terms of where they want to live, and people have plans to emigrate, and people have plans for holidays. So I guess there's a lot of things that we can, you know, we can set plans for. And I think a challenge that a lot of people have with their personal goals is thinking about how they are aligned to their aspirations when it comes to their career. What's your thoughts on that in terms of the alignment between our life goals and also what we want to achieve in business?
I think I would come back to I think what I call the five balls of life, so which, you know, some of your listeners might have read or might have seen, and it's from, I think, Brian Dyson, who was the CEO of Coca-Cola, you know, and he talked about the fact that we have these different balls, you know, and they are work, family, health, friends, and what he calls spirit. And there's the thought process is, if you take your career, which is the work goal, it's a bit like a rubber ball. So if you drop it, it bounces and you can pick it back up again. So if the goals in terms of what you want to achieve career-wise don't quite work out, then it's not going to massively impact in terms of, I guess, life in the longer term. But those goals of family and health, friends and spirit, are all made of glass. And if you drop one of those, then those balls will be damaged, or in fact can be broken, and that'll be the same. I think what that whole story does is it just makes you understand that there is this balance that's needed in life, and actually that we all need to strive for. So in setting goals, I think we often can set those career goals, often at the expense of, I think, some of those personal goals. And I think it's that imbalance, you know, that often people live to regret longer term. You know, I think somebody once said to me fairly early in my career that nobody ever gets to the end of their life and wish they'd spent more time at work. That the regrets they often have are the things that they didn't do, didn't see, the hobbies they didn't take up, didn't spend more time with their families, so the goals around that. I think having some balance is hugely important.
And being, or regularly, I should say, reminding yourself of that balance. I think that it can be easy, can't it? And I think we've all probably done this, where in certain times of our life, we maybe overly focus on one particular area. So I think it's the reminding ourselves, actually, yes, work and career is a big part of my life, and it's very important, and I have plans and objectives for this, but don't put all of my focus on that at the detriment of some of the balls that you've just described there, which are the glass ones. In terms of setting goals for ourselves, I know some people are quite, I guess, directed on this, or directive on this, where they actually keep records, and they write, you know, they write goals for themselves, and they think about, this is what I want to achieve in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, and this is how I'm going to measure it. So they effectively set SMART goals for their lives. And that's not something that I've ever actually done, but I can see why people do that and the value of doing so. Are you happy to share sort of how you document your goals?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say I'm that formal. But I would say that I do take time, and I think probably beginning of the new year, I think a lot of us do, and I don't class them as resolutions or anything like that, but I think I do take time to reflect in terms of, I guess, and I'm not sure I would use goals around that. I would often use the word sort of dreams around it. So there's an element of, okay, you know, what would I like, I guess, life to look like? What would I like to achieve? So, yeah, I think I often can I have the list? No, and they can be, you know, something like, you know, visiting somewhere that I've never been that I would like to, you know, Disney or something, you know, I think was past one in the past. Or they can equally be, you know, things like, you know, read all Jane Austen books or, you know, do yoga for 100 days, etc. So I mean, I do have, I would say, those lists. I wouldn't say I have timelines against them. But I would say, actually, and I think what's been interesting often when I've gone back, sometimes several years later, to look at that list, it's often surprising how many of those things actually ultimately I have ended up achieving. Sometimes even subconsciously, because at some point clearly I've had the thought that says, here's what I wanted to achieve. But I do think writing it down gives you the opportunity just to really give some thought to what it is that you want to achieve and the why, because the why is important. So, you know, you know, why is it a goal? You know, what will it enhance in terms of your life or maybe the life of others if you achieve that goal or that dream?
Yeah, and also just by talking this through with you now, writing them down and seeing them written down would actually provide you with, I guess, allow you to reflect and look at the goals together. So to work on the alignment piece, you know, if this is really, really important to me right now, then how is that going to work in conjunction with this other goal that I've also said? So it would help you, I guess, at that point in time, try and prioritize what the main area focus is.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you set goals which actually almost conflict, don't they? You know, and actually to achieve one goal means that you won't achieve the other goal. And you're absolutely right. I think when you write it down, you see it on a piece of paper, in a book or wherever you write it. I think, as you say, I think it makes that alignment. And I guess when I reflect on when I've done that, of course there's been some around career, because I'm sure we'll talk about career goals and business goals, but there's been a lot of family goals or health goals, or the spirit bit to me often is about the reading or where you spend your time, you know, as well. So, you know, I think we've talked about the balls of life. I think it just makes sure that there is, you know, it is balanced, and that your life is balanced, because ultimately that's the ultimate goal for all of us, I think, is to have this happy, balanced life.
Focusing on all of the factors and not just an individual one. And also, I think on that point, I know this is something that I focus on, and I speak to a lot of my clients about, actually, is making sure that the goals that we are setting for ourselves are our goals, and that we're not comparing ourselves to other people and not trying to take their goals and make them ours. And that could be in terms of, you know, career or home life. I think that's absolutely vital, that we are looking, like I think you called it, the why, and looking at the goal and saying, well, why do I want this? Why is this important to me? And not feeling as though that we have to sort of like measure up to other people.
Yeah, and I think particularly career-wise, I think you can fall into that trap, you know, probably earlier on in my career than now. I think there probably is a point where you think, you know, if you've been to school, you've got your A-levels, you then felt you had to go to university, you've then maybe felt you had to go on a, you know, some kind of professional training program, you know, in the field that we work in, you know, and then, you know, is it a manager, is it a partner? And often when, you know, individuals talk to me in terms of the goal is, for example, to be a partner, my first question is why? So actually, why is that a goal? And as you say, is it your goal? And I think often we set goals that are often about keeping other people around us happy, as opposed to actually keeping ourselves happy. And whether that's the inadvertent pressure, and as a parent, I guess I'm, you know, always, you know, working on making sure that I'm not setting my daughter's goals, that they are their goals, and it's what will make them happy, as opposed to what I think their goals should be. And I think we do the same at work. I think as managers or as, you know, as business leaders, I think often we set goals for others, and we just need to make sure that it's right for them, not just right for us, either individual or as a business. And I think asking the why question is massively important when people are setting goals, and just making sure that they are the right goals for them, and recognizing that goals will change, you know, again, career wise. Our career is 45 years. So the goals that you may set in your 20s will be very different than the goals that you set in your 40s or your 50s. You know, and our priorities change. And therefore, as a result of that, our goals will change also.
Yeah, definitely. Keep reviewing them goals. Keep checking. Keep checking that the why is still the why. It might, like you said, it might have been the why in your 20s, but in your 30s, the why might be very, very different in terms of why you are striving to achieve a particular thing. If we can move on to sort of career goals, Helen, which form part of our overall goals, but you managing, managing partner at WR Partners, you are involved in lots and lots of people within your team's career development and progression journeys. What sort of tips do you give to people within your team when it comes to their own career development plans?
I think the first question I will ask is almost, what's the dream? What is ultimately the goal? And explore, go back to that why, explore some of the reasons for that. But then I think it's almost separating it into, okay, so if that's the goal, what do you have to do? Where are you, go back to, where are you now? How far or close are you to that goal? And, if you are some distance from it, what would you have to do to move yourself closer to it? So sometimes it can be about different skills or different experiences. So it's about people taking responsibility for that. I think the other part I would often ask is, okay, so how can I help? And that can be about providing opportunities for others too. But it's also exploring what some of the barriers are to those goals, because I can talk personally, I think in my career, there probably have been different decisions I've taken for example, my background is not all professional services, so my background is very much HR. It was in a FMCG background. There was a point when I had a young family and actually, needed at that point to change the direction of some of those goals because my personal circumstances meant I couldn't achieve that goal at that time. And I think having some discussions around those barriers to the goals are important. Now, some of those barriers are our own internal barriers, our own internal mindset. Sometimes those barriers are other people and, the noise that they make about whether we can and cannot achieve those goals. I think it's listening when appropriate. Yeah, but also, I think it's at times eliciting feedback in terms of, how can we achieve those goals? And I think, as I said to you earlier, there's a quote that I have in my culture code that says, people would often prefer to be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. And sometimes that this feedback that we may not want, but we need to help us achieve those goals. I think we need to be open and sort of seek that feedback when it's needed.
And just on the barriers there, what suggestions do you make, or what support do you provide for somebody that would say that their goals that they've set themselves in their career aren't happening, or they're not happening as quickly as what they would have liked?
The first step I would often say is to have some real honest reflection. It's that looking in the mirror almost, isn't it? Looking in the mirror and saying, actually, are some of the barriers me? Because we can ourselves put inadvertent barriers, barriers up. And if it's not me, what are the external barriers and which are the barriers that we need to knock down? And actually, how can we do that? Because I think, I think barriers come in many different forms and sometimes it's a combination. But I think actually just sitting and reflecting, I think, okay, I'm not achieving it. Why are there's individuals who have been passed over promotion? And they get very frustrated, don't they? Because actually they've been passed over. Well, what is the reason for that? What were the barriers that stopped it happening? And I think once you have an understanding of that and an honest understanding of that, then what you can do something about, and you know what support that you need. So I think a lot of those things where we're not achieving our goals, it's about, I want to go back to, is the goal realistic in the first place? Or with the time that we think. But if it is, then it's just making sure that we're really clear about the barriers and then just knocking them down one by one. What I would also say, though, is that sometimes some of those barriers, they're not there, really. We just think they're there. So actually, I think sometimes it's actually ensuring what we do is we are knocking those barriers down because we can do it. We just think we can't.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. And also, it's about having the open the open dialogue, isn't it? For that feedback to work, it has to be two way, really. You know, for someone that is listening to this and maybe they're feeling as though that their career isn't progressing as quickly or in the direction that they wanted it to, then yeah, ask questions, be open to that feedback. For me, the dialogue and the open communication is absolutely vital. I think there's sometimes a concern, isn't there, that we don't want, like that quote that you just gave, Helen, about the ruin people with praise. I think sometimes we potentially steer away from having the very frank, candid conversations through fear of maybe demotivating someone or upsetting someone. And actually, we need to work at that.
We do, and I'm not here to talk about feedback, but you know, I think when I give feedback, I'm always really clear what my intention is. I'll often articulate that says, look, you know, I'm going to give you some feedback that may be quite difficult for you to hear, but here's my intention. And if my intention is to help someone achieve their goals, then they are more likely to listen to the feedback that sometimes is hard to hear, isn't it? Because actually, you know, we're all human, and we don't always like what my husband says to me, and I'm going to give you some feedback. It's the feedback that you need as opposed to the feedback that you want.
I will remember that one.
I remember that one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It works every time.
Yeah. From a business perspective then, Helen, I know that you clearly have business goals for WR Partners. Can you give us a bit of an insight into how your sort of objective setting works for the business itself and what that is framed around?
Yeah, and I've been managing partner for 2 years now. And I think if I go back 2 years, you know, we as a partnership, because, you know, we are a partnership. So, I am a partner in amongst that partnership. And the commitment was around how do we reset WR Partners? And, you know, how do we set some really ambitious goals for the future? So I think as a collective, we have agreed those goals. We've agreed what we call the roadmap. So the roadmap is the longer term strategy for the business, which we then break down initially into a 12-month. So for the next 12 months, here are our objectives. But then we focus very much on a 90-day cycle. Because I think we can focus for 90 days. So this quarter, you know, what are our objectives? We are in a process of ongoing development. So it's, you know, this 90 days, here's our objectives, and then here's what we need to achieve. And that's communicated at every level. So whilst we would agree it, certainly agree the overall annual roadmap at a partnership level, we have an exec, obviously, an executive board in place as well who work obviously with me on that. We filter that right through the organization. So I would do briefings. So, you know, I make sure that all of our teams know, you know, on a quarter by quarter basis, what it is that we're looking to achieve, as well as what we have achieved. Because clearly there's an element of looking back that says, in the last 90 days, here's what we achieved. In the next 90 days, here's what we're going to achieve. But it's all about setting that clear direction and ensuring that we get not only a sense of purpose and direction, but we get a sense of, recognition around what we're achieving also.
Brilliant. And you mentioned there the communication of that plan. So ensuring that everybody within the team knows what the wider vision is, but also when it goes down a level, the department, you know, their departmental goals and objectives. So I think that's absolutely vital, isn't it, to make sure that people are aware of what the plans are and to feel part of that journey. And I'm interested to know from you, what do you think are the biggest or the best ways to gain that genuine commitment, the buy-in, from a human capital perspective? You know, how do we get people within all the different teams that we have, all the different departments, to really buy into the goals that have been set?
I think it's focusing on the why. So there's an element of, I call it storytelling, you know, and I think I think you read about storytelling, don't you? So there's an element of, you know, making sure that you are making the why sound really exciting, but it's also thinking about what's in it for them,
because, you know, from a team perspective or from an individual perspective, people need to feel that if there's this goal and this direction, that they will personally benefit from it. So, you know, from a WR Partners perspective, we use phrases like we share the success. You know, a lot of what I'm describing is what the future could look like and the benefit to them of that future. So if growth is a big objective for us, it's growth because what that does is that provides opportunities for the great people within our business. So it provides the career development that they're seeking. It provides the opportunity, you know, the financial performance of the business, which again, we share very openly, aligned with that needs to be the how individuals will benefit. Now, there's still a lot of work to do, and we probably at the moment are using quite general statements around it, but it's investing the time. And I think I read a couple of weeks ago that said something along the lines of, you know, when you're fed up saying it, your team are starting to hear it. So there's a phrase I use, which is that we're building a very strong, sustainable business. And I keep repeating that. So the strength is about the size and the scope of the business. The strength is about the financial performance of the business, and the sustainability is about the continuous improvement and the development that ensure we stay relevant. So I think it's just lots of messaging, and it's also about connecting to people's hearts, not just their heads, because the heads is I will do what you tell me to do because actually I work for you, report to you, whatever phrase you want to use. But the heart is about getting people to want to be part of what we call this journey. So when I talk about this journey that we're going on, when we want people to be a part of the journey and the end destination, which is the ultimate goal, it's describing what that could be like.
Yeah. And I know, Helen, you use a bus analogy, which I also really like. And I think it's actually a really good analogy for our listeners to use when it comes to change and managing change and ensuring that we're taking people along, you know, the journey with us. Can you just explain the bus analogy for us?
Yeah, because I think from a business, I mean, you know, we are on a journey, aren't we? So what we talk about is what the end destination. So the end destination is kind of, you know, where the bus is taking us to. As we describe, and I like, obviously, where we're based, so I use the Chester analogy. So I say the bus is going to Chester, and here's what Chester looks like. So what I'm describing is the firm that we're looking and the business we're looking to develop. Now for the involvement piece, what I say is actually the route we take, you know, ultimately we can decide. And people have an involvement input into that route. So whether we go via Whitchurch, whether we go via Oswestry Street, I don't really mind. You know, it's just what the end destination looks like. And I do communicate and say, you know, there is a place on the bus for everybody. But if you want to go to Blackpool, then you need to find a different bus, because this bus isn't going to Blackpool. This bus is going to Chester. Now, that's quite clear. You know, yes, there's the route conversation that we have, and it's about, you know, encouraging people to, like what I say, take a seat on the bus, but they have to sit down. And, you know, I think also what I've tried to say is it's okay if you don't want to go to Chester. It's okay if, as we're developing this business, it isn't right for you. We need to help people be able to get off the bus and to help them maybe find a different bus. Because if they want to go to Blackpool, you know, it's a bit like if you're in a bus terminal, you want to take them and say, look, here's the bus to Blackpool. You know, have a great time, you know. So I think that's the analogy that we use. And everybody's used to Helen's bus now. So everybody talks about the journey. I think we talk about the bus. Because I think it's an analogy that people can understand. And when you're trying to manage change, it's something they can kind of quite easily connect with.
Absolutely, Helen. No, I really like it. I really like it as well. And I think when you mentioned there, people getting off the bus, that's something that we don't talk about really. You know, this concept that actually getting off the bus is okay if you're not happy with the destination, and actually doing something different, and that would clearly mean, you know, having to find an alternative to being at WR Partners, something that is more suitable for you, a different destination. But someone getting off the bus is a lot better than someone stood in front of the bus slowing it down, wouldn't it?
It is. And you know a lot of you know, why people don't achieve goals is because they allow barriers to get in the way Now, you know, I'll come back to, you know, if we've agreed as a collective, here's the end destination. You know, if people have had the opportunity to talk about, you know, talk about the route, and ultimately, you know, decisions have to be taken that say, no, here's the route that we're going, because we have 230 people that we need to get on a bus to get at the end destination. But, you know, what you can't do, and I completely agree with you, and this is the language I think business leaders don't use enough, is to say, well, maybe this isn't right for you. And I think you can do that in a supportive way that says, I understand and I recognize, you know, and in some case you've given fantastic service to this business and it's really, really appreciated. And we want you to come. And if we need to support you or talk to you more, explain what it's like in Chester, we'll do all of that. But at the end of the day, if they don't want to go and see the Roman ruins in Chester and they want to go and do the Big Dipper in Blackpool, there is no Big Dipper in Chester. You know, and I'm a great believer that people outgrow businesses. They resign and leave. Businesses at times change and outgrow people. And that's the bit of that, I guess, that thought that people seem to find uncomfortable. And yet they're very comfortable with the bit that says, I've outgrown this business and I want to go do something else. And yet there is two sides of that coin, as I see it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's candid conversations there has to be, doesn't there? When we're having conversations around this destination isn't for me, then yeah, that there is got to be some very open and honest conversations.
There is, and I think the first time that I probably communicated that, I think there was a bit of shock, you know, and you know, only recently I had managers' coffee breaks, you know, where we kind of have coffee over Zoom and it's quite informal, and the same conversation happened. You know, we have a culture code, and again, it's, you know, it does say, look, this culture is not right for everybody, you know, and but it's right for the majority. And I think the challenge of barriers and goals is often, it's often the minority that stand in the way of the goal for the majority, and that's not right, and it's not fair always either, because you're stopping, you know, people, and a lot of people getting to where they want to get to.
Yeah, I guess before we move on from the bus, even though I would happily talk about this bus to Chester for hours, Helen, but in terms of the destination, i.e. Chester, and the people that are on the bus, I guess a big part of this is making sure that the right people are determining the destination. And there may be some people on the bus who actually could be really, really valuable in determining and being part of where that final destination is. So we've got to try and pick them people out, haven't we? We've got to make sure we're getting the right people involved. And I guess that's part of leadership, isn't it?
It is. And I think it's part of the question, the challenge. Because I think you do need people that will say, are you sure this is the right destination? Or, you know, actually, it's okay, you get on the bus, Helen, and starting driving, but I need to know kind of where we're stopping for a coffee. And actually, you need those people around, Michael. So you do need to have that really good conversation that says, you know, just want to go back to our strategy days. And I mean, all of that is about making sure this conversation takes place. That the right people that are involved in those discussions too. But I think culturally, it's also trying to, I'm working on a culture people feel, you know, and I've got some managers who would very openly say to me, look, Helen, I'm just really not quite sure about this. And part of the culture that I guess we're developing is so that regardless of what individuals' roles are, they all feel able to ask some questions where clarity is needed, but equally challenge some of that direction when appropriate. And I think we have to, and the listening bit is important in this as well, Michael. So you know, I'm listening, you know, and but I will equally say, you know, just because, you know, I might not always agree, but doesn't mean I'm not listening. But ultimately, at some point, you've got to make a decision, Michael, and you have to say, here's the goal, you know, here's the goal that the majority have agreed. Has it been informed? You know, has it been really well thought through? And if the answer to all that is yes, then I think you do have to go, because sometimes the danger is you spend so much time in all of that piece that you never get out of the car park.
Going around in circles, gotten you around the car park.
Absolutely. Yeah.
COVID, we're talking about goal setting and, you know, changing the goals and how we respond to that. And I'm sure a lot of the goals for WR partners pre-COVID have been impacted. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you've responded to that?
It's interesting. I think COVID, if anything, has accelerated achievement of our goals. So we've rebranded from Whittingham Modell to WR Partners. We've acquired in that process. So we now have two offices in Cheshire that we didn't have pre-COVID. I think we have really developed our approach to agile working. If we'd have been talking this time last year, I was told that we couldn't have home working and we couldn't work in the way in which we're currently working. So there's elements, I think, that have absolutely been accelerated. And bar the first 2 or 3 months, which I think we did probably get sidelined a little bit, which is just that trying to deal with the COVID. And it felt like we were making decisions almost every day on just how to keep the business moving, kind of business as usual. I think probably since early summer last year, we've just moved forward with our strategy. Now, there have been challenges, Michael, because clearly we haven't all been in the office, so most of us are working from home. There's far more communication on webinars, which is sometimes it's difficult to get that feedback. Some of the informal communication has been more difficult. And there is a tiredness and a fatigue as well, isn't there, that people are feeling. And I think it's separating out when you get the feedback that says we're unhappy with the goal and we're unhappy with the direction. Is that what people are unhappy with, or are they just unhappy with COVID? Because I think a lot of people are just tired of COVID and lockdown and the impact on them personally. So I would say we've kept business as usual. And at the same time, I think our commitment has been, go back to a strong, sustainable business, to ensure that we have pivoted the business as much as is possible to ensure that we are fighting fit for the post-COVID world, which, in some aspects will look different.
Yeah. And how do you do that, Helen? How do you, as the leader, how do you... maintain the energy yourself, because you're a human being too, and you're personally impacted by COVID and fatigue and so on. So what do you do?
Probably two things I do. So I think the first thing I would say I do is at times I pretend energy. So I don't think there's any business leader that wouldn't recognize this. So at times I think you're on screen and you're almost performing, because you're having to almost pretend the energy is there that you don't feel. So, and I think we have a responsibility to do that. At the same time, being honest, and sometimes it's more after the event that says, actually, I found that really difficult because actually I was really tired. The second part of my family would probably say I don't do this well, is that I think often you can... I think at the moment, I think work is taking a lot of energy, so probably is less energy for home. But I have learned to sit on a Sunday afternoon and watch some rubbish on Netflix for 2 or 3 hours, or read a good book. I got a lot of energy by people. So when I sense that energy is dropping, I will either, and sometimes it has to be, I do manager Zoom meetings, and just get in contact with people who I wouldn't normally see. It just has to be on screen. I think it's recognizing what gives you energy, and still find a way to do that, I would say. But I can't say I always get the balance right, Michael, because my family would tell you that I don't. But I really enjoy what I do, and it's a huge privilege to be a leader of this business with fantastic people and fantastic clients, and that in itself gives me energy.
Yeah, and I guess it's progress, not perfection, isn't it? I guess we never get it completely right, do we?
No, and I think sometimes you have to just do it, don't you? And perfection is the enemy of good. I think what I'm learning is that sometimes it's just good enough, and you have to accept that good is good enough and let things evolve. Let things sometimes take a natural course. I mean, even goals wise, I would say some of my goals, they haven't been achieved. As many of my personal goals probably haven't been achieved, as many as have been, or perhaps a different goal has been achieved instead. And sometimes you do have to just let things happen. And, through hard work, because the bit we haven't picked on, I think, from a goal setting, I would say, is that to achieve
ambitious goals, it takes hard work. And I don't really know anybody, I've never met anybody who have really achieved great things that haven't put an awful lot of personal time and effort into it.
Yeah, and taking opportunities when they arise.
Yeah, and it's being brave, isn't it? You know, I would go on COVID. I think through COVID as a business, there have been occasions when we have been brave. But I think it's also setting goals where we're not afraid to fail. In fact, I sort of say both here at work, but even, you know, at home, if we never fail at anything, we're not trying hard enough. So actually recognizing we might set a goal, we might not achieve it, you know, but if we've made some progress towards it, we've still made progress is what we've done. And I think that, you know, it's okay for things not to work out quite in the way in which we wanted them to and or thought them, because we are probably going to end up somewhere at times in a better place.
Yeah, and being kind to ourselves when that happens. I think we can sometimes be our own worst enemies, can't we, with that? And I think, you know, if things aren't going exactly to plan, you know, being kind to ourselves and recognizing that, you know, tomorrow things might be better, and keep reflecting back on, you know, on the plans that we're setting for ourselves as well.
Yeah, I think so. No, I think the kindness is really important. I do think that we should be kind to ourselves. And if there's one outcome I hope from COVID, is that I think we continue to be kind to ourselves. And I think some of the goals that people probably would have set historically, I suspect post-COVID those goals will change. I think it has led us all, hasn't it, to reflect on what's important in life.
Yeah, and that really takes us back to where we started, wasn't it, in terms of them goals and asking ourselves the why. You know, why is this important to me? You know, is it really important to me? And a bit of self-justification in terms of what it is that I'm actually looking for out of my life, and making sure that all aspects of our lives are aligned. And I think that, Helen, that is a really, really good place to end this episode. It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing all of that really, really useful insights and stories with regards to your personal journey. So I very much appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been great. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Helen. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you think you would benefit from more support in this area, then please visit the management training section on the main Mercia website. Likewise, if you have any suggestions for future podcast topics, or you would like to join me as a guest speaker, please get in touch. Take care.